You can get consolation from all sorts of falsehoods, but because it's consoling, it doesn't mean it's true.
No. There are a lot of very religious scientists around.
Science. There is no evidence for any kind of supernatural being of any kind.
You think people should not have a choice of what to do with their body?
Anti-murdering the unborn.
And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need
But them. Why should I believe? Well, because it's the truth.
So my question to sort of anchor the discussion today is, what is the best evidence for Christianity? So when we talk about, especially in church, we don't focus a lot about the evidence for Christianity. We're there because we already believe it, so we just read it and study it. And you should read and study the Word, but there is a lot of evidence for Christianity. And I was thinking about today, like, what are some of the things that, you know, people use to provide evidence for Christianity, or to provide evidence that God exists. And one of those would be, all right, the theory of intelligent design. Like, looking at the environment, we see God's handiwork in creation. You know, we look inside of a cell and we see all these machines working together to make life possible. And we intuitively know that those types of things, machines, even furniture, is not built by chance. It takes an intelligence to go in and create order in nature. Or if we look at astronomy, that the Earth is the only planet we know of that has life. There's something special about our planet. It's distance from the sun. Having the moon coupled with the Earth protects us from solar radiation that would otherwise make life impossible. And there's 16 properties of the Earth that it has that no other planet has. Together, all of those 16 different properties. The Kalam cosmological argument, which is basically the idea that the universe had to have a beginning. Because if it didn't have a beginning, then you cannot experience an infinite number of days, right? If the universe has been here for infinity, today would have never arrived because it would be infinity in the past. So the fact that we are even experiencing today shows the Earth and the universe is not infinite. There's other philosophical arguments, the moral argument, the ontological argument, and all of those arguments are awesome. I love them. Like, I study that kind of stuff all the time, and I've taught on some of those topics. But the problem with all of that is it doesn't point to Jesus. And that's the most important thing. Because you can talk about evidence for God all day, but someone just believing in the general sense of God, that does not save someone's soul from hell. It doesn't do anything for them at the end of the day. What really matters is what points somebody to Jesus Christ. So let me read you this passage in 1 Peter. And this is Peter's claims about the gospel and its power. And then we'll look at some evidence for what he's claiming here in this passage. So it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, to those who reside as strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And what he's pointing to here, the most important part, is that he's saying through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead allows us to obtain an inheritance. And ultimately, we obtain that inheritance through faith in Jesus Christ. And faith is trust. It's belief in what Christ did on the cross and in the resurrection. So basically what Peter is saying and what the Gospels tell us and what Romans tells us is that you are saved from your sins by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did, his work on the cross and in his resurrection. So the question is, well, what's the best evidence for Christianity? That is Christianity. Jesus coming to this earth, the God-man, he's fully God, fully man, came to this earth, was persecuted, murdered. The only innocent person that ever lived was murdered, and not just murdered, brutally crucified. They drive nails through his hands. They beat him nearly to death before he even got there. And then he dies for people who hate his guts. And 3 days later, he rises from the dead. So if that's true, whatever evidence points to that, that's the best evidence for Christianity. So how do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, Scripture tells us it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in your heart is what makes you a believer, ultimately. But there's other things that can lead us to help our belief and to increase our faith. And some of these, I have 7 pieces of evidence that we'll go through briefly because we don't have a lot of time. And people have written books on every single one of these. But the first one is the empty tomb. Even people who are not Christians believe, because the historical evidence is so clear, that after Jesus was crucified, that 3 days later, where they know they buried him, the tomb was empty. So you have to explain that. And it was a tomb guarded by Roman soldiers who would be killed themselves if they let a prisoner escape. And Jesus, his body, they were told to guard that body. 3 days later, his body's gone. So you've got to explain that. Even if you're an atheist, like, they agree that's the case. They just have other explanations for how that body could have been missing. But if Roman guards, these people were the most legit warriors on the planet at that time. They literally ruled the world. And they were told to protect that tomb, and his body wasn't in there. It's got to be the case that he actually rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb. A second reason for the evidence for the resurrection is that the Gospels, they say the first people that noticed that Christ's tomb was empty was women. And at that time, a woman's testimony was not like even considered. Like if it was in a courtroom and a woman said something happened, they devalued their testimony so much, they wouldn't even take their testimony. So if the Gospels mention that women are the ones, their testimony is the ones who said Christ's tomb was empty, if you were making that story up, you wouldn't make up the fact that women at that time who were culturally considered less than, you wouldn't say that those are the people who saw that happen. You would say that men saw that. And it points to a couple things there that's really just the reality of what happened. And also that God is affirming the worth and the value and the equality of women, which is pretty amazing. Number 3, Jesus' apostles, before the crucifixion and during the crucifixion, they all completely abandoned Jesus. But then after the resurrection, they all die for him. So they go from running scared because their teacher, their leader, who's been leading them for 3 years, he's dead, and they all abandon him. Days later, now they're all proclaiming that this person is God. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why would they do that? Why would they go from hiding to literally fighting for their lives for this message? And then I think this is the best evidence. Anybody got a sibling in here? All right, if you're lying, who's the first person to call you out on it? Right? Your siblings. And trust me, I have a little sister, so you know how that goes. And Jesus's brother, James, wrote James, and he was converted and believed in Jesus' message. But not before the crucifixion. It was after the resurrection that Jesus' brother became convinced that he was who he said he was. And that's the biggest, to me, evidence for Christianity and for the resurrection. Like, if I'm lying or if I'm doing something stupid, my siblings are the first people to tell me. So if Jesus was lying and he died and he was really dead after that, his brother would not be risking his life to proclaim that message. There's no way. He really did rise from the dead. Paul claims that 500 people saw the risen Jesus. He claims this at the time of the events where they could go ask those people. So why would he reference all these people that saw it if they didn't actually see the resurrection? Paul himself, he was the top dog in Judaism, and he was killing Christians. And then after Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus, Paul risks his life and ultimately dies for that message. If you were the top of the food chain, like you're number one in America right now, you own all the money, you're completely in charge, why would you put yourself at the very bottom for a message if it wasn't true? And then the last thing, the apostles were all martyred except for John, who wrote Revelation and the Gospel of John. They were all martyred. So if you are proclaiming a message, why would you die for a message you know is a lie? Right? Because these people, they were at that time when Christ was crucified. They would have known if he was really resurrected from the dead. And if he did, then it would make sense that they would proclaim that message and risk their lives. But if he did not rise from the dead, they would have known that he didn't rise from the dead. So there's no way they're risking their life for that. So obviously it really did happen. And the conclusion of this whole thing, I know that's a lot at once, but to have faith in the resurrection, it's not like you have to just believe in something in which we have no idea if it's true. We have so much evidence to point that it really did happen. Jesus really did live on this earth. As Chad spoke last week, he really came to this earth. He's really God. He really died and he really rose from the dead. And it's actually unreasonable not to believe that. That's what's so amazing. The historical evidence and all of this is so compelling. It is unreasonable to believe this did not happen. And that's what's so amazing about it. And we're almost out of time, but just to read that last verse again, it says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And what God commands us to do and what he asks us to do for salvation is to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And he really came, he really died, and he really rose from the dead. And you can believe that, and that's a reasonable belief. It's a justified belief, and it leads to your salvation ultimately. So you can experience him and be with him in eternity.